Nigerian hair. My criteria compared to your career just isn't fair. I'm a venereal disease like a menstrual bleed through the pencil and leak on the sheet of the tablet in my mind. Cause I don't write, cause I ain't got time. Cause my second minutes, hours go to the almighty dollar and the almighty power of that chopper, sister, brother, son, daughter, father, mother.
Does Cowboys Bears interest you at all?
Oh, yeah. Because whoever loses, they are out, and someone might be getting fired at the end of the year. Especially if the Cowboys lose today, especially to the Bears who have, listen, Mitchell Trubisky has had a horrible season. He's taken two steps back. You have an elite defense that hasn't been playing elite, even though they're coming off, I think, a three-game winning streak right now. It will be interesting because, you know, the Cowboys do what's been working for you guys the last couple of years, and that's feed Zeke. He's been balling. You paid him $90 million, and you're like, you know what? Let's go to Dak. And I know Dak is leading the NFL in passing yards, but how about the way? You're 6-6. Set up the run. Run some clock. Like, I just don't get it with them. I really don't.
Yeah, Chicago, they won back-to-back. I think they've won three out of the last four, so they've turned things around a little bit. Obviously, this Cowboys team, we know about all the coverage that this Cowboys team has received. I saw Jerry Jones. I think he had said that I wish I could pull up the exact quote because I know there was a quote because, you know, Jerry Jones, he's one who's not afraid to talk. So Jerry Jones is the rare owner who you can ask about Jason Garrett, who will actually give you sound bites during the season about Jason Garrett. And I don't have the direct quote in front of me, but I believe I saw that he had said something to the effect of Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year.
I love that.
What does that mean?
Everyone's like, where is he going to be coaching? Who is he going to be coaching? Is he going to be a quarterback's coach? Is he going to be an OC? But he's just going to be coaching in the NFL. Wow. I mean, come on. Let's call it what it is. He's going to be fired at the end of the year.
It seems like he'll be fired whether he wins this game or loses this game, right? I mean, I don't know. We say that every year with this Jason Garrett situation with Jerry Jones. But it feels like to me that this game in particular would not necessarily save Jason Garrett's job. Because if I'm Jerry Jones, at some point I'm finally moving on from the Jason Garrett era.
I mean, he did make the comments a week ago or 2 weeks ago saying that I don't need to win the Super Bowl every year, but, you know, six times, that's cool. But this year, yeah, I need to be there. So it's pretty much saying it's Super Bowl or you're gone.
Now, he's given Jason Garrett almost a decade.
Oh, let's be.
And I would say out of those 9 years that Jason Garrett's been the head coach of the Cowboys, I think it is, how many times have we had this conversation as a sports community about, is Jerry Jones going to fire Jason Garrett as the head coach of the Dallas? At least. I would say maybe half those years we've had that conversation. And he's never done it. He's loyal to his man through and through. That's one thing you can't not say about Jerry Jones. He certainly has some loyalty there.
But why to him and not to some other coaches in the past?
Well, people wonder that. I mean, obviously there's the theories that he's really the puppet and that Jerry Jones wants to be the star and that he doesn't really want there to be a great coach in there who takes the attention away from him. Frankly, I don't believe that because I think Jerry Jones is first and foremost, although an interesting feller, I think he's a businessman. And if his Cowboys were winning Super Bowls, that very much helps his business. So even though the coach gets a little more accolades from that and maybe Jerry Jones doesn't have all the control if he has a really great coach in there because maybe the coach wouldn't agree to allow Jerry Jones to have all the control in taking that job. I mean, at the end of the day, I think Jerry Jones wants to win Super Bowls as much as anybody else.
Yeah, but when you look at that, you're talking about a team that hasn't won a Super Bowl since the 90s.
Right.
And they're still the most valuable franchise in the NFL.
That's true, but imagine what they would look like if they had since
the 90s.
I know,
but they're the most valuable franchise in the world.
But one of the reasons
the
that
world.
They're valued as the most valuable, because we do that. Are they the most valuable because they're such a big draw? Now, there is a lot of built-in Cowboys fans from the 90s.
Yes.
And so your built-in Cowboys fans, you have that. By the way, that population is aging, though. And we've talked yesterday about the Toronto Raptors, or maybe it was the day before when we were going to that Raptors game, and how them winning a championship, they capture a whole country. So now there's a whole generation coming up that just saw the Raptors win a championship. They'll be locked in as Raptors fans for life, and more importantly, basketball fans for life, which is not always something that resonates in Canada. So if the Panthers, we talked about it in terms of hockey, like if the Florida Panthers down here win a Stanley Cup, all of a sudden you see probably a change in temperature down here. It hasn't worked out with the Marlins, but we know why. So that's not a good example. But normally, when you win championships, I think we saw it with the Heat, Miami becomes a basketball town because you win those championships, you capture a whole generation, all of a sudden that sport becomes really important. With those Cowboys fans, they haven't won in so long that obviously, yes, they're America's teams, they're the Dallas Cowboys. At some point, though, that doesn't start making sense to the next generation, where the next generation's like, what's the big deal? One of the reasons that their valuation is always where it's at, though, is because he spent the money on that insane stadium, and that adds to the value of that team. Jerry Jones is a good owner in terms of dropping that bread, and that's one reason that franchise is so worth it. But is it really valued it so much because they're just so watched, or they bring in the ratings, and how long does that continue for, like across generations? Does that just keep up if they never win another championship? I'm not sure. Now, I understand Jerry Jones is older there, but we know how those billionaires are. They're still thinking about
it. We coming up to 30 years almost, aren't we? I mean, if it hasn't stopped off from one generation to the next, what's it going to stop it now? Because they haven't sniffed the Super Bowl.
This would be it.
They haven't
sniffed. This would be the generational shift. This would be it. Where it like starts getting a little bit like, what's so great about the Cowboys? Like, why do we all care so much about the Dallas Cowboys?
But I feel
why
like,
is that America's team again?
I feel like in Cowboys household, they hold their kids hostage. Like, that's the team you are going to watch. We are Cowboys fans. I don't care. You ain't rooting for nobody else.
Well, speaking of holding your kids hostage, I feel like that only works to a certain extent because I know it worked in my family. I mean, I had no choice but to be a Gators fan. And I mean, I would have been disowned if I hadn't been. So I know it worked in my family. But you do see a lot of kids these days in Steph Curry jerseys, and you're about to see a whole bunch of kids become Lakers fans. So I feel like those parents have no morals. I'm with Tobin on this one. Like, if you're allowing your kid who's from Miami and growing up in Miami to show up to that Miami Lakers game next week in a Lakers jersey, you're a bad parent. Like, I do feel like you need to have some control over, you got to have control over your kids. Vlad, why are you a Knicks fan? Because you grew up in New York, right?
Yeah, but my dad was, it wasn't because my dad was a Knicks fan.
But you grew up in New York.
Right, so I'm going to ride with my city.
If you grew up down here and you're a Knicks fan, not okay. Like, not okay.
No. If I had a child, I don't want my child to go through the pain and agony that I've gone through over the last 4 years.
So you're going to have your child be a Heat fan?
No, I wouldn't have him. I would have him or her just be like, whatever team or player you like, you ride with them, but you got to stick with that team.
So you're making your child choose, like 3 years old, choose.
No, but right. If he wants to ride with daddy's team, I'm going to let him know this is the pain and consequences that you're going to have to go through being a Knicks fan. But if he decided he's a LeBron James fan and he wants to ride with LeBron, I'm cool with that.
But the problem is, a lot of the times these kids don't actually ride with the team forever. Like, you think these kids that are all growing up on Steph Curry, obsessed with him, like they're riding with the Warriors forever? No, they're probably switching. Now they're probably wearing Lakers jerseys.
I think the kids nowadays,
like, you have to have morals. And I don't know if kids these days have morals.
They resonate more towards players instead of teams.
That's true. Especially in the NBA.
Like, I know some of my clients, they were LeBron fans, so Cleveland fan. Heat fan.
Although
now they're a Lakers fan.
In fairness to kids these days, so we don't totally sound like get off my lawn people, we all did that too with MJ. Like, there was a lot of that in the 90s.
No.
A lot of that.
No.
Let's be honest.
See,
like, everybody was a Chicago Bulls fan.
No.
Yankees fan. Everybody was
a Yankees
fan.
Yankees
everybody
fan.
Was a Chicago
was
Bulls fan. Everybody was a Florida State fan in the 90s. Like, those
hell
were the,
no.
It's LeBron
Bro,
James, by the way. Those are his teams.
Time out. There's a person who we know very well. He lived in Boston. He was a Canes fan. Okay?
We talking about Beast?
Yeah. You know, why was he a Canes fan?
I don't know if he was growing up. He was a Canes fan because he ended up going to Miami.
Right, but no, grew up in Boston. Why was he a Boston College Eagles fan?
You can't base anything off of Beast's allegiances,
I'm
though.
Just saying
because
it
he
happens.
Grew up in Boston, but then he claims he's a Heat fan, but then he's also a Patriots fan. It's all very convenient, right? Like, that's very convenient.
Whatever
that you grew up
is good.
Very convenient that you're a Heat fan.
Whatever's popping.
And then also a Patriots fan, and that you didn't come over the Dolphins, but you came over to the Heat. That worked out well for you. All very convenient.
I mean, I guess it was a little different for me because I didn't really watch football growing up, so I didn't really have an NFL team or a college team.
Really? You didn't?
Not at all. And then basketball, I watched what was on, so that's why we knew Michael Jordan and everything else like that. But I would never say I was ever a Bulls fan, ever. Never really watched the Heat either. I only really had one sport growing up, and that was really soccer. So I really had that team and stuck with that team forever. So I guess it's a little bit different for me because, honestly, the first time I started watching college football is when I started getting recruited. That's it.
Wow.
Other than that, I didn't watch in the 90s,
Gosh,
Florida
I can't relate
State,
to that at all.
Nothing. Because my mom's from Ireland. Like, she doesn't know anything about American football. Like, We never had sports on like that unless it
was
me.
My mom didn't either because she was from England, but she learned because you're going to learn because, yeah, that was just that household I grew up in. My father was football fan through and through and through. I mean, my dad used to coach football back in the day, so he was an extreme football fan.
And that's
the
difference.
Grew up with a big brother who I was real close to. And yeah, football was my life growing up.
She learned from her husband, and my dad is Bahamian and knows nothing about football and lives on the island still. So that's why we didn't have football or anything growing up. I mean, when it came to baseball, the only thing that was on for me at the time was the Braves. That's what they played down here. So I watched the Braves.
Superstation.
Yeah.
That's another 90s type of allegiance, although more the Yankees and the Braves.
Sid Bream and everybody, you know, Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux. Like, that's what I watched. I never even knew about, like, really the Yankees like that until later on. Like,
yeah, some of that is regional, although kids these days know nothing about, or it's not probably not so much about that now, because now
technology.
You have access to everything with the internet.
I was just about to say that. The technology where you're able right now to watch your favorite player at any time because it's at your disposal with the remote or whatever.
Or if you're growing up somewhere where there's not a team and they're playing WGN, and so then you're going to be like a Cubs fan or whatever it is, and that's being what's being fed to you because it's the only games you can watch.
Jordan tormented my Knicks, so I didn't buy Jordans. Like, I refused to buy Jordans or anything that was like him until I got old, and I was like, you know what, you got to get over it.
You know what, these Jordans are fresh because I'm gonna rock those.
You gotta get over it.
I gotta get over it. You know, like the sneakers look good, and they went against the greatest player ever at that time. You know, whatever. You know, Amber said it might be LeBron. It's whatever. But at that time, he was the best player ever, and I just got to accept the fact he was just better than my Knicks. His teams were better than my teams. So, therefore, I just got to salute him. Same thing with the Patriots. I hate the Patriots. But, damn it, six titles. Got to salute them.
Yeah, but
you gotta give them respect.
They got some asterisks on those things. I don't salute
them.
We
all are cheaters. I don't have to, respectfully. A texter writes in, the Cowboys have the rights to their merchandise. It's the only team in the NFL that does. That's why they're worth more. Okay, but their merchandise would be worth a lot more if they were winning Super Bowls. So I ultimately do believe Jerry Jones wants to be winning Super Bowls.
Of course, but I don't know how much that value. They're the number one value, a sports franchise in the world. Soccer, everything. Like, I can't expect it to shoot up how much if they won a Super Bowl.
It would shoot up.
You think
like,
they would get the seven? You think they would get the $7 billion as a franchise? They're worth six now.
They're worth more than any other franchise in the world.
Any franchise, Forbes, 2019. Trust me, I know.
I'm just surprised they're worth more than the soccer teams.
That's what I'm saying. They haven't
won. What's number
two,
though, according to
the Yankees?
Okay.
Yankees, and it's a drop. It's a 4.6. So the Dallas Cowboys are valued at $5 billion year into year. They change 4% up increase. Operating income, $365 million. Number two is the Yankees.
But it's not just their operating income. I think it's also the ownership of that stadium and how much that stadium's worth. I think that's part of it.
Because the huge – look at the drop-off between the operating income and the Yankees.
Because that stadium's owned by the Cowboys, I believe. I think that's a huge difference between –
a couple stadiums are owned by
right, owners. But that one in particular, like, for example, I don't know if that's true with the majority of the stadiums around the league. Like, a lot of stadiums or arenas or ballparks are owned by the city.
The city, yeah.
So that makes a huge difference when you're talking about these valuations.
Off the top of my head, the only one I can think of, Stan Kroenke owns the new L.A. stadium that's being built. That's his cash. And I think the Giants owners own MetLife and lease it out to the Jets. But I could be wrong on that. And then the first soccer team comes in at three, Real Madrid. They are $4.24 billion
And I don't know how that works with their stadiums over there either.
They're owned.
The team.
By the owner. Yeah. Because, you know, you have a lot of like big money that goes into like soccer franchises, and especially now they're changing, you know, a lot of.
See, some texters are questioning it. They're saying Man U is the most valuable franchise in the world.
We were until we took a big hit.
Oh, you hit him with
years.
A we. Huh?
I'm a Man U fan, been since I was 9 years old. They were for the last couple years, but once they hit the skid after Sir Alex, he retired, and we had David Morris, and we had Oli, and we had Mourinho, and we sucked. It went down, and we dropped all the way to six.
I mean, who doesn't know that?
I do, because it's my team.
Let's do some headlines. Did we already hit the headlines?
Talking Manchester United.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
I think Vlad had gotten bored with all your soccer talk, so he tuned out.
Hey, don't be hating on the soccer
talk. I think he shut you off back there. Don't be hating.
And by the way, the Knicks
come with this show.
The Knicks are still the number one NBA team on the Forbes list.
Yeah,
losing. But part of that is owning MSG because they own MSG. I think
losing's a new winning.
Nick Dolan. Oh, he's a terrible owner. Miami Heat. They lost to the Boston Celtics last night up in Boston. That was, of course, a scheduled win, so not a huge deal there. They are off until tomorrow night, and they take on Washington tomorrow night. They're going to be home for the next four games. Thank goodness. Because I think this Heat team needs that rest. The Florida Panthers are not back in action on the ice until Saturday. They also might need some rest as well. Changes, they're coming to Marlins Park. They're switching to synthetic grass. That's the first change. And then they're going to move the fences inwards. They're going to move center field and right center field. The center field fence is going to go from 407 feet to 400 feet. That's obviously a 7-foot difference here. The right center field fence is going to be reduced by 12 feet. Down to 387 feet. So that will make home runs maybe a little bit more feasible in Marlins Park, which has been a knock on Marlins Park over the years. Adam Gase spoke to Miami reporters. He was asked about Devontae Parker's recent success without Gase. Gase said, "That hasn't really crossed my mind." He said, "That's some of the stuff you guys have certain points and stuff I saw a couple times, especially in 2017 training camp. I'm happy he's been able to stay healthy and it's working out for him. That's the player everyone expected when he was drafted." What everyone expected when he was drafted was for you to be able to get that out of that player
again, and
5 years ago.
And if it's so complicated, why don't you dumb it down for your player and understand certain routes and just go have him do that?
Yeah, you're talking about Barry Jackson's report. Barry Jackson, he's been buzzing around. You know how he does.
Barry.
You know Barry. He was buzzing around. He was reporting that a source with direct knowledge, it's always a source with direct knowledge.
Yeah, right.
A source with direct knowledge said that Gase lost confidence in Parker, believing that Parker could not fully grasp Gase's so complicated offense.
Right?
So complicated.
And it's so elite. It's so elite. Sam Darnold is just blossoming right now with the Jets.
Text story saying, Amber says Boston like she's from New York, not Boston. Is that true? I mean, I feel like Boston, New York,
Boston.
They kind of sound similar.
No.
We got a New York guy.
Never make that mistake. Never.
Oh, I'm sorry. You guys sound so different.
We
Bostonians and New Yorkers.
They really do.
We really do.
I'll agree on that.
Boston's got the more like Sully and Murph. I don't know. Boston. I mean, we all know Boston. Isn't that like, am I doing too New York there?
No, I mean, you're saying like a Bostonian, but we don't have.
Coffee? Like that's New York.
Got any rum in the car?
Coffee?
Yeah, we can't say park, and we can't say dog.
Right, because you're saying dog, which is not how you say dog.
You can't say dog.
You say dog.
We can't say dog, bro. We can't say dog or park.
That's a good one. Never
what
heard
is
that
park?
Before.
Park's like pack?
Go to the park.
Pack.
Yeah, go to the park.
And you go to the pack.
Yeah.
That sounds more Boston, though.
Nah, New York can't say park. And, you know, yeah. But dog, can't say, New Yorkers can't say the word dog.
Huh. Something new every day. Look at that. Learn that. I didn't know that.
Next, let's do big deal, not a big deal. Right now, you want to go to Santa's Enchanted Forest?
Hell yeah.
Give us a call. We're giving away a 4-pack to Santa's Enchanted Forest. Hit me with a number. What number?
Let's go with Billy Bob, 10.
Caller 10. That's making Vlad's job hard.
Yeah.
Caller 10. He had to fill out. He's shaking his head. No, he's not happy. You want me to choose a different number, Vlad?
No, let's go 10, man, Billy Bob.
All right, caller 10. Caller 10 right now.
Caller
10. 4-pack.
That's why Angelina Jolie left him.
Santa's Enchanted Forest.
My man, I'm not talking about Billy Bob Thornton. You know that, right?
Any name Billy Bob, I'm just like, why would you pick 10?
Who else is named Billy Bob?
Yeah.
Do you guys not remember Varsity Blues?
Oh, God. Oh, here we go again with Monroe quoting every movie ever.
I couldn't.
Do I remember Varsity Blues? Sure. I saw it 20 years ago.
I couldn't drop the word that he also says in it because I would get kicked off the air. But he was talking about his teacher who was a stripper and they asked what she looked like. She's a word and tan. No, come on. That's like the.
I remember the character. I don't remember that line because
what?
I don't remember the line to every
Jeez,
movie ever written.
My God.
Because I have a life.
Oh,
what?
Yeah, I don't. You're right. What? Yeah, what you doing this weekend?
You know what's funny
oh,
is the only.
Right.
Hey,
staying
oh,
at home.
Ouch. Mm-hmm. Ouch.
What are you doing this
talk
weekend?
Talk to me once you have a kid.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Talk
that means I got more of a life then.
Once you have. No, no. Some could argue I'm living because there's no living better than life. And the
there's no better living than life
of having a life and a child.
You know what's a great beauty
that
too?
That is living. Watching practicing, your child grow up is living.
Practicing is
not
a
being
great
at the
living
club.
Too.
You think being at the club's living? No.
What's I didn't say
living
have
is
to be
staring
at a club.
Into your child's eyes.
It could be on a yacht day. You know what I'm saying? Pool party.
You think
party.
Yachts are living? Well, I think yachts are living too.
I was about to say.
Okay,
thank you
very
much.
You think pool parties are living? Okay, you know I thought that too when I was 25. But
going on
now I know
different
better.
Places
at 27.
Seeing new cities and countries. That's living to
no,
me.
No, that is living.
Right, well, I might be doing that
not
next
so much
week
hanging
too,
out
then.
At 11 every weekend like you do.
I don't go to 11. I haven't been to 11 in months. Places,
in months.
Places,
I thought you were going to say years.
Miserable.
You're
miserable.
Say years. No. You hit me with months. I haven't gone to 11 in months.
What you mean? Yeah, months. Yeah, months.
Okay. I've never gone to 11. Look at that. How about that?
I mean, come on. It just opened up, what, 3 years ago?
Exactly. That was after my...
Exactly.
That was my morning show. Right? I'm telling you, man, that morning show, that's what did it. Not having a kid.
But
it
you
was hosting
done
a morning
you
show.
You
could
have done a Friday night at... At 11.
Yeah, but that was the problem is by like so Friday night rolls around. I'd gotten up at 4 a.m. on Friday. So Friday nights were always toast for me.
Take
when I was
a
hosting,
nap.
That's the only way. And I hate naps.
What?
I hate taking
I
naps.
Love
I wake
naps.
Up groggier than I went to sleep. I only take naps if it's absolutely necessary. So for me, like all those dudes, that's how they would survive. They'd take naps. But then they wouldn't go to sleep until midnight every night anyways. And they also, I don't know if you've noticed, but Zazzlo aged like 110 years.
Yeah.
So I tried to keep a normal schedule because I saw what was happening to them. And so I would get up at 4 and then I would try to be in bed at like 8 and sleep by 9. And that's the schedule I started keeping with the morning show. And the only time I would break that schedule is for sports, obviously. So if it was like the Heat in the playoffs and I'm staying up and watching those games, and that would be a reason to forego sleep or to maybe take a nap if I needed to. But for the most part, I tried not to. And so then on Friday, I'd be done because 8 rolls around, 8, Ooh. 9 o'clock. And I mean, you can't even, that's like 6 hours before you're even going out in Miami. So
yeah,
it
but,
just totally
see,
changed my life.
8 o'clock's when you're supposed to take the nap.
8 p.m.?
Yeah, like 7, 8, you take a nap.
No,
and then
get
you,
out of my life.
Oh, but you're a woman. Fun. You take longer to get ready, so it's different
than
us. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, well, that's the other annoying thing about it.
See, like, we'll take a nap at, like, 8 to, like, 9, 9:30.
Oh, yeah, and then you, like, jump in the shower for 5 minutes and
yeah.
roll out the door.
And then
you're like,
get
oh, I'm good.
Get the dinner at 11 o'clock and then go to the club.
And I'm not one of those girls who needs, like, 6 hours to get ready. I don't have my
you
makeup
take me
artist
as the type
up.
That'll take forever.
No, I don't take forever. I really
Pick
don't.
Pick me up at 8.
I know.
Give
no.
me 15 more minutes.
No.
I'll be ready at 8:30.
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm positive.
Okay.
But you still definitely need a minute. Like an hour is a, you know, pretty solid timeline. You're taking a shower, doing
hour.
Your hair, doing
Holy
your makeup.
Moly.
Are you kidding me? You know how fast that is down here in South Florida?
I know.
In your shower, I could do it faster if I don't have to like shower and do my hair.
Oh,
but like if you're showering, you're doing your hair, you're doing your makeup, you're picking out your outfit.
That's why
yeah,
I lie.
An hour.
That's why I lie. What time do you need me to be ready for? 7:30. Why so early? 7:30 we need to be ready by. So then she gets ready by 8 o'clock, and then we actually have to be there by 9. And
there's
good.
A famous country song, so you don't know anything about country, but there's a famous country song called Waiting on a Woman.
Waiting on a Woman.
And it is an incredible song because it's Brad Paisley, and he's just singing about...
I know Brad Paisley.
And he's just singing about... I would hope so. He's just singing about...
He's on the commercial with Peyton Manning.
Waiting... There you go. He's just singing about waiting on a woman,
oh,
and
man.
it's a
We've
whole...
We've all been there.
Yep.
Bro, what's worse than waiting on a woman? Waiting on a group of women.
Oh, no, I'm not.
It's
I'm
a
not.
Logistic nightmare.
I'm going to say meet me there.
It's a logistic
Straight up,
nightmare.
Meet me there.
Logistically, nightmare.
And by the way, if you are 20 minutes late, I am ordering,
yeah.
and we are going to eat. And if you don't get there by we're done, you got to go find your own food.
The lyrics of the song are, you know, on our first date, I told her I'd pick her up at 8. She wasn't ready till 8:30.
That's facts.
But so, you know, I was waiting on a woman
yeah.
and she came down. She sure did look pretty. Like, I don't mind waiting on a woman. And then it just goes through our wedding, how she was late to our wedding, and then, you know, everything that you did. And it's a whole song about like you're spending your life. He's talking to an old man, and it's like the whole song about like spending your life waiting on a woman. Like, I've spent my whole life waiting on a woman, but it's all been worth it.
But don't you think that's some women set themselves up for like, a little bit of a letdown? Like they say, hey, I need 2.5 hours to get ready, right? Let's just say that.
2.5 hours is insane.
Exactly, but we've all know somebody that's taking that long, right?
Oh, I know some people.
Okay, so now what if you're that guy and you're waiting and you're like, okay, 2.5 hours.
You better look like the best person.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why I'm not like that.
What if you walk downstairs and he's like, 2.5 for that?
I can't. Oh, hell no. I cannot relate to that with girls because I do feel like you're setting yourself up for failure. Disappointment.
Literally.
If I take 3 hours to get ready, I better come out of that looking like I don't even know who.
That dude better get on one knee right there and be like, oh my God, sweet baby Jesus. Look at all that. Good. Oh, I'm good. Let's go. Where we got to go? We're going to parade
you everywhere.
Yeah, see,
when you just do it fast, when you go get ready, like in 30 minutes as a chick, you know the bar is low, so you can just roll.
That's the thing. That's the good thing. And you're chill. And I feel like more guys appreciate that. If someone that could be chill and still look great.
But here's the problem. I never see what frustrates me now is I never get to get ready in the life I'm living now. So like I miss it a little bit because I never get to get ready. So in my life now, because I have the baby also, and just.
You got ready for the Dwayne Wade roast?
Yeah, I did. I got ready for that. But normally if I'm just going out to dinner, I'm quite literally going out looking like this.
You're just chilling.
I'm just chilling because I'm going out a lot of the times, like I have the baby. So I'm going out to dinner like 5, 6 p.m. I just normally walk to one of the restaurants right by my house. And so normally I just go out looking like a total scrub.
Bum.
But sometimes like a scrub.
But sometimes even when women go out, like sometimes like a scrub, like when they just a 20-minute getting ready, they look great.
I like it more sometimes.
Like
I feel like some women
like
overdo
it. Well,
I'm
a lot more comfortable. Like for some reason, I've always been more. Like I'm more comfortable in gym clothes than I am all dolled up.
But here's the thing:
well, we know that
ladies
could
wear jeans, a pair of jeans, and a top. If they put on some heels and like their hair is nice, they look phenomenal. Like wow, like you look. You're striking, like, you're looking good.
Yeah, but in Miami, like, I mean, you felt a lot. Like, when I lived in Miami and I was going out all the time and I was younger, I mean, you feel a lot of pressure to be, like, in a tiny dress every single night and everything.
Because you can separate yourself.
Suited and booted.
You can separate yourself because then people be like, oh, look at that with the jeans on. She knows she bad.
Look at that chick over there in the gym clothes with no makeup on.
I've seen some bad mommies on some flip-flop in a dress.
That's my look, man. That's my favorite look ever.
Vlad, you know what the first thing we said when you see like a girl that's bad with flip-flops? You're like, damn, imagine if she had
some
heels on.
Right? So it's like, oh, wow.
Man,
so
you know what? Let me holler at that
like
one.
This, oh, when you do get made up, oh,
That's my signature look is like I wear maxi dresses with flip-flops because even if I'm going out, because it's so comfortable.
Dress?
Because by the way, heels, which I mean, I loved heels in my 20s, but heels are uncomfortable AF. And like now that I'm in my 30s, I'm willing to just admit that. Because like when you're in your 20s, you lie to yourself. You're like, I'm cute. Like it's not
lie.
Just about looking cute. Like you're, and then by the end of the night, like I used to have to carry flip-flops in my purse, you know, when I would go out at night. By the end of the night, you're in your flip-flops anyways, and you're carrying your heels, and then you just look like you're doing the walk of shame 24/7, even if you're going to your own place. So
you're better than these nasty chicks walking down the street on Southie with bare feet.
With bare feet. Ugh. No, no, ugh. No. Oh, get no, ugh. No. So
that's a turn off.
Yeah, ugh. That is not cute. So but when you get into your 30s, I feel like you're just willing to admit some stuff to yourself like, hey, these heels might look cute, but they're really, really bleeping uncomfortable, so it's probably not worth it. So I like to do the sandal because we live in Florida. We can get away with the sandals with the dress. So that's the move.
Look, I always try to get away with shorts in the clubs too. You know what I'm saying? I try to be different.
Did we get a winner, by the way, for Santa's Enchanted Forest? Because I've now stalled for like 45 minutes since caller 10.
I got a winner. That's why I X'd all the other calls out. They were
that's
still
right.
calling. So yes,
Billy
we
Bob.
Have a winner. Shout out to Robert Rodriguez.
Robert, we speak your name. Congratulations.
Double
are you going to do your little song, Monroe?
Santa's Enchanted Forest. That's my jam right there, boy.
That is your jam.
Give me some elephant ears.
That's the only words you know from that jam, but that's your jam.
I think that's the only words, isn't it?
I don't even know what song it is.
That's all I hear on the radio.
All I know is what you've been singing the last few days.
That's a tune. That's the jam.
A texter had written in earlier in the show asking if you would help that texter meet some models at the Heat Lakers game. We often get those texts for Monroe where texters will write in and be like, hey, Monroe, help me out. Can you introduce me to some honeys?
I mean,
like they all assume Brian just has his harem of honeys to go ahead and introduce to.
He's got a harem. He doesn't share
our listeners.
I was going to say, like, I don't be putting myself on blast like that.
I got a harem and I don't share him.
You ain't going to see none of that. But the Heat Lakers, woo, that
there's going to be a lot of talent next Friday.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine that's
an
expensive ticket.
If I'm in town.
We knew what you were talking about, Vlad.
If I'm in town, I'm going to be at Hyde in that game. I'm going to be at Hyde.
I don't think I've ever gone to Hyde at a Heat game.
Good times.
I don't think I have.
I haven't gone to Hyde in Miami.
Oh,
but the one in L.A., yeah.
Well, it's not like the one in L.A. It's completely different. Obviously, it's centered around basketball, right? Obviously, if the game's on, it's not open. They do have Hyde at SLS on the beach, but that's completely different.
Right.
That's more pool party.
Where is Hyde in the arena? Because I've been to the...
You know where the DJ sits?
Right?
Yeah. You go right past him.
Yeah, yeah. I don't feel like I've done that at a Heat game, which is crazy, but I don't think I've done that at a Heat game.
As many times have you been there? Like, not even for a drink, just to go, because at halftime, it's nuts.
Well, I've gone into the down, there's like the downstairs, the Grey Goose Lounge.
That's Grey Goose. That used to be the spot.
And then the other one, that's
the Doers Lounge.
I've been to both of those.
Yeah, but they're different now, because Grey Goose used to be the spot back in the day. That would be where everyone was going. Now it's Hyde, because now you can literally get bottle service like in the club. And then after the game, it is like a club. And especially with big games, it'd be nuts. And they're like, people come at halftime, you're like, you know what? I don't even want to leave yet. And they have great food, too.
Texter writes in, Amber, don't act like you don't have them Valentino flip-flops with a bow for $545. I actually don't, because I feel like everyone's got those.
She's got them for $600.
She went and got the Italian one somewhere.
Good song. Zaslow's out this week. Brian Monroe has been hanging out with me. We wrap things up here. Texters, of course, are angry at us for spending one segment not talking about sports.
So sorry, guys. We apologize.
Maybe go ahead and hit the radio.com rewind on the radio.com app, and you can go listen to the whole 3.5 hours before that when we talked about sports for your ass.
Yeah, we did.
Let's talk about big deal, not a big deal right here, because we did not do that last segment, even though I teased that.
Such a tease.
Let's do big deal, not a big deal. Starbucks, Brian. Still not going to talk about sports. Starbucks, they're offering fans a chance to win free coffee for life. Big deal or not a big deal?
And that's a huge deal how expensive their coffee is. What? I'll take some free coffee, but
yeah,
I'm not going to.
You're talking about $6 lattes?
I'm not paying for it, though. No way.
Free coffee for life.
What do I got to do?
I don't know. I already clicked out of it. You go give it a Google. You go give it a Google. I didn't expect follow-ups, man. I'm not ever ready for the follow-ups. He's always asking me follow-up questions on big deal, not a big deal.
So you should be prepared by now.
If he says big deal, then we got to.
Then the conversation's over.
No, then I need to know the answer. What do I have to do to get this free coffee?
Listen, I'm just lobbing it up. You're the one supposed to go ahead and finish, you know? You got to make that basket.
Basically, she says she's Stockton. You're Malone. You got to deliver, man.
I always deliver now.
The Rockets are reportedly optimistic that the NBA is going to take action after that James Harden dunk error. You were the one who told me about this originally because I hadn't seen it the night before, and you were explaining it to me, and then I went and looked up the video, and oh my. But it was funny because even Harden didn't realize that his dunk had gone
exactly.
in because he ran after the ball, but he had dunked the ball so hard that it flipped in and around the basket, and it looked like it didn't go in the basket in real time, and it very much did go in the basket. So apparently the Rockets, they're hopeful that the NBA is going to do something about it. Is that a big deal or not a big deal? Should they make them play the last 7 minutes of that game?
It would only be a big deal if they made them play the 7 minutes again or they switched the outcome of that game, because now you're opening up Pandora's box. They can't.
They can't do that. People who have been asking for that, I think it's so ridiculous. It's not like there was 1 second left.
Exactly.
It's not like they were guaranteed to win if he had made that basket. I don't understand that.
7 minutes left in the game. Uh-huh. That's a big deal only if they change the ruling. Because now you're opening Pandora's box. Look at the PI calls that we have now in the NFL where you can't even challenge it because they barely give it to you anyway. So that's only a big deal if they change it.
A study shows that 2/3 of couples still get it on while staying with family at Christmas. Is that a big deal or not a big deal?
That ain't a big deal. You better be getting it on. Shoot.
In your mama's house.
What's wrong with that? As long as I'm not, you know. I mean,
nothing
I guess,
you haven't done before.
I'm,
huh?
I'm about to say,
nothing
I've done it before.
Nothing you didn't do in high school.
Exactly. If I'm in a guest bedroom or in my bedroom, I should be good.
A woman threatened her husband with divorce when he covered the entire kitchen in wrapping paper. Big deal or not a big deal?
Man, don't you see the love that I'm giving you right now? I'm wrapping everything for you. Surprise!
It took 40 minutes to unwrap the kitchen.
Now, she took it as an insult that you didn't wrap my living room, but you wrapped the kitchen. Like, what are you trying to insinuate here, husband?
Jason Momoa, I told you yesterday during Big Deal, Not a Big Deal, Jason Momoa, he had shamed Chris Pratt for using a non-reusable water bottle, for basically just using a regular damn water bottle, yep. right? And Chris Pratt had taken a picture posing with a water bottle, and Jason Momoa made a big deal out of it. So then, of course, the internet made a big deal out about it. Now Jason Momoa has apologized to Chris Pratt for shaming him and his plastic water bottle usage. Big deal or not a big deal?
It's not a big deal, but he should, because you know what? The internet never lies, and someone's going to find a picture of you with a plastic straw or bottle, and you're going to look like an idiot.
He said, "I'm so sorry this was received so badly today. I didn't mean for it to happen. I'm just very passionate about single-use plastic."
All right, we'll find a picture.
I'm very passionate about Jason Momoa, I got to be honest with you.
Oh, God.
South Park creators are raising money for the guy who inspired Cartman's name. Apparently, Eric Cartman's character was named after another guy, obviously, who, anyways, long story short, they're trying to raise money for the real life guy who inspired Cartman. Big deal or not a big deal?
I can't answer because I don't know why they're raising the money. Is he sick?
ALS diagnosis.
That's a huge deal because I have a friend that is dealing with ALS and definitely need the most money there for research and everything like that. So that's a huge deal.
Again, with the follow-up questions by you. Willie Nelson has quit smoking marijuana due to breathing issues. Do you know about Willie Nelson and that marijuana?
Listen here. I'm sorry. I don't believe that he stopped marijuana. I believe that he stopped smoking marijuana, but now he's going to hit up Dion Waiters and be like, yo, you got some of those gummies for me? Because Willie Nelson, there's only two guys that I would say that would never say will give up the marijuana.
Well, and now he has his own line of marijuana products.
So you have Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg that I think will have marijuana in their system until they die.
He may have, what are you saying there, Vlad? What are you doing over there, Vlad?
I'm just saying.
He may have been the one to give Dion Waiters the gummies. I don't think he would have needed to get the gummies from Dion Waiters.
He might have, but I'm saying he might have stopped smoking marijuana. But there's other ways that we know of taking in marijuana nowadays.
Edibles.
Exactly.
A gun was found in a baby shower present that was bought at Goodwill because America. Big deal or not a big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal. We have the craziest people in the world out there in America, so yeah.
It was supposed to be a baby Einstein's gift set, and when they opened the box, there was a gun in it. She had paid $9 for it. At Goodwill.
She could flip it for a couple hundred and make some money, though.
Hey, you get a baby Einstein and you end up with a Smith & Wesson. Yeah. It's okay.
Do you see this 49ers radio broadcaster?
Yeah, he should be fired straight up.
Tim Ryan. He made comments about Lamar Jackson. He said, this is Tim Ryan, okay, not Amber Wilson. Let's be real clear about that before I read what he said. Dark skin with a dark football with a dark uniform. You could not see that thing.
That's why it makes it so much better for him to have the handoff and the pitches.
Yeah, he said that was a big advantage for Lamar Jackson.
Are you kidding me? Come on. Like, are
don't
you kidding
ask me,
me
follow-up questions about this. I'm I don't need to. I'm as far away from this subject as I possibly can, but big deal or not a big deal.
I've had already people send me this stuff, and I'm just like, I mean, it's stupid. It's just a dumb comment that just doesn't need to be there at all. And then for him to say, like, I haven't heard what he said the follow-up, but some people's like, well, is it really racist? And I'm like, you're joking, right?
Well, also, by the way, it's uncomfortable either way.
Very uncomfortable. Very well, because you're saying he's black. Like, there's been no black quarterbacks before him, so they had an advantage of pitching the ball.
That's also why it feels so uncomfortable.
Come on.
Well, and also, black players have never touched the ball before in football. Like, what are we doing there?
Jeez.
A Howard University volleyball player skips the final tournament of her volleyball season to make a stem cell donation to a total stranger. Big deal or not a big deal?
Huge deal. Congratulations to her, because that's bigger than sports right there.
Panthers quarterback Cam Newton, this guy that got lost in the Ron Rivera news. He is undergoing foot surgery, reportedly. Big deal or not a big deal?
Not a big deal. We knew it was going to come down to it. He's been out the whole year. So we'll see if he could actually come back from it. He's got one more year in that contract. Kyle Allen kind of cooled off a little bit, so they'll probably take both of them into training camp, whoever the new coach is.
So you think Cam Newton's playing for the Carolina Panthers again?
Well, here's the thing. If you're the new coach, you can't trust Kyle Allen fully because he was hot for a little bit, then he cooled off. You have a guy that's going to be making, I think, $19 million next year in Cam Newton. That's not top of the market. So you keep both of them because Kyle Allen's on his rookie deal. You let him fight it out and go on.
Americans wake up feeling grumpy 300 times a year. They wake up on the wrong side of the bed, so to speak, 300 times a year. That means that they only have 65 mornings that are quote-unquote good mornings. That has everything to do with noise, temperature, unusual dreams. Is it a big deal or not a big deal that we're all waking up grumpy?
Not a big deal.
Apparently, temperature is one of the biggest reasons why. I feel like we don't have that problem so much down here in Florida. I got to tell you. I feel like they've got to be a lot grumpier up north than down here.
Yeah, man, you might wake up in negative degree weather. I'd be grumpy, too.
Air Asia is opening a restaurant that exclusively serves plane food.
Wait, listen. I will say this. Them Asian airlines, though, they're some of the tops in the world. Their food's probably pretty fire.
Apparently, their in-flight food is so good that foodies flock to the airline to eat it, that they try to fly on the planes just to eat their airline food.
I can see that.
On Malaysian Airline, or Malaysian Airline Company. I don't know if it's Air Asia. It's not Malaysian Air. It's Air Asia.
I know one of the Asian airlines is like top three with like Emirates and somebody else as the best airlines to fly because they're second to none, obviously. But it doesn't shock me.
I'm not sure I've ever had an actual fire meal on an airplane, I got to tell you. Like, I've flown on a lot of different airplanes.
But have you flown on, like, Emirates or...
I mean, I've flown on some nice... The foreign airlines, and you can stop the music. We're done with big deal, not a big deal. The foreign airlines are always nicer than domestic airlines. If you guys get to ever have an opportunity to travel internationally, like, foreign airlines are where it's at. I mean, maybe not all foreign airlines, but a lot of them are nicer, especially the ones that fly in and out of from here. So, I mean, I've flown Lufthansa. Lufthansa, TAP. British Airways,
baby.
Like,
I've
done all that stuff. I mean,
it's still airline
TAP
food.
Had pretty, like, TAP had the whole Portuguese, like, they had olives and stuff. I feel like they had, like, a Mediterranean flair to it on the food. But really, it's all airplane food
now
at the
I've
end
had
of the day.
Couple...
None of it was something I'm going to a restaurant for, I can tell you that. On any airline I've ever been on. I've flown Virgin. I've done all that.
I've had a couple of friends fly Emirates and sitting in business.
Now,
in
that
Emirates.
I haven't done.
They were like, yo, I don't think you understand. You don't feel like you're on a plane. That's how sick it is. I'm like that? They go, bro, we were at a bar the whole time on the flight pretty much. And they said the food was fire too. So I've never done it, but I can assume with some of those Asian airlines since they are top five in the world.
So it was fun. Should we do it again tomorrow? One more time?
One more time.
One more time. We'll do it again tomorrow, 10 a.m. next.